All right, we're going to start this morning the series. This is the first. This is at the front end, and I'm so glad that all of you are here. I've been looking forward to getting started on this because of just what's been going on inside of me. And really today, I want to speak to your heart. I know that I also want to speak to your head, but I really want to speak to your heart. And I want you to, if you're not at a place where you have some deep emotional feeling with regards to your marriage relationship, I want to kind of pluck those strings again. And that's my whole purpose. And I want to be an encouragement to you. And I also want you that are single to know that this series is also for you, because we're going to hit on some things in this series that you need to consider on the front end before you get married. So I just want you to know this isn't just all about, well, you're not talking to me at all. Yeah, we are. And so just remember that. And so if you'll get out your life point outline, if you haven't already done that, the series is about when the vow breaks. And this morning I want to talk to you about faith. This is where we're going to start. It's about faith, not how much, but where. And what we're going to do over the next several weeks, running on into March, is we're going to examine some of the big marriage killers, the things that just really get to couples. And really at the top of the list is this message today. And here's what's at the top of the list. I really believe that marriages crater and marriages begin to crumble and husbands and wives begin to go opposite directions and get further and further apart, not only physically, but also emotionally, because they lack faith in God's ability to do what needs to be done to make their marriage what it can be. There's way too much focusing on me, way too much focusing on us. And while we need that, there's a lot more focus that needs to be put on Him, on the Lord, and what God can do and where our faith is. And so in this series, we're going to be talking about keeping love alive, how to grow your marriage, how to grow in the Lord as a couple. And I'm assuming that we have in our worship attendance here this morning, at the next two worship services, that as people are going to be coming from all over the area, that we've got couples whose love tanks are at or close to empty. And what I mean is that your emotional love tank toward your husband and toward your wife is just, if you look at the needle, it's really over at right at the E. There's just not a lot that's there. And maybe you find yourself arguing a lot. Maybe you find yourself, there's more tension in the home than there is peace and contentment. And that is because your love tank is low. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to listen to me on this. If that's where you are, now listen to me, I want to encourage, that's okay. It is okay to be there, because here's the reason why. Because God says, He says, if you will come to me, I can take the little that you have. And if you will trust me, and if you will put your faith in the right place, God says, I can take the little that you have and I can grow it into something big. Now, that's good news as far as I'm concerned. And I want you to know the marriages that not only survive, but thrive. Because I don't want to just survive marriage, do you? I don't want to come to the end of my life and just survive. Well, I made it. Because there's a lot of people today, there are couples out there, they're not legally divorced, but they're emotionally divorced. And it's no longer a husband and a wife living in the home. It's just a man and a woman occupying the same residence. That's called emotional divorce. And it is hell on earth. It is not any fun. And that's not the way God intended for us to live. And He wants something better for us. And so I want us to begin by reading our text, Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. And in Luke chapter 17, verse 3, Matthew 17, 14, when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of the boy, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not do that? Why could we not drive it out?" And Jesus said to them, now watch, "Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Now, turn over, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 17. These will be easy to remember. Luke 17, beginning in verse 3. Jesus said, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Now, I'd like for us all to stand. Would you just stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning? Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity for the teaching of your word. And God, I thank you that you have an answer for us. God, there are so many marriages, maybe even here in this service, or in the next service, or the next, that maybe you're on the brink of failure, that there is emotional divorce, though there's not legal divorce. And Father, broken marriages are painful. And the hurt lasts a lifetime. So many people who have suffered that, it's so painful. And so, Father, we ask you to teach us today how you can take little bit of love that we have. You can take our struggling marriages that we have created by our own sin and our own ignorance and our own shortcoming. And you can make something wonderful out of our relationship. You can make something lasting. We ask you, God, in this series, I ask you for miracle in marriages, for marriage miracles in this series. And I ask it to you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I want you to notice, if you will, if you've got your life point outline out, I want you to notice number one. Mustard seed marriages are a must. Mustard seed marriages are a must. So often, I'll have a husband or a wife sitting in my study from time to time, and they'll say, "Pastor, I just have to be honest with you. You know, we or I have just about lost faith. What little faith that I had that this marriage can make it." I've had couples sit in front of me and basically tell me, "Our marriage is the Titanic, and if you can do anything to keep it from going under, that's why we're here." And I want to, why did you wait till you hit an iceberg to come to me? You know, it's taking on so much. And they'll say, "We have tried and tried so much." But it's like no matter how many steps forward we take, it's like we always wind up retracing that and going back, and we wind up right back at square one. And to be honest with you, my faith, our faith is so small that this marriage is ever going to be able to survive and to make it. And if that's where any of you are, if that's where somebody that you know is, What I want to share with you this morning is that that's what this series is about. And what we're talking about is mustard seed marriage miracles. That God is able to do a miracle in my marriage, in your marriage, in anybody's marriage, when we feel like that our marriage is like headed for the rocks. And when it's just difficult, when we're just like two totally different people and it's just exacerbated our differences and how that we're just not alike. And it's like we're two people going in opposite directions. That God is saying, the answer is your lack of faith. And that your faith is not in the right place. And what you need is to come before me and to yield yourself that you want to have a mustard seed marriage. You want a mustard seed marriage miracle. Now, the first time that the Lord mentions this whole principle of mustard seed faith is there in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. And there's this young boy, he's demon-possessed. His dad doesn't know what to do with him. He's absolutely incurable. It's an impossible situation, just like many people feel like that maybe that their marriage is this morning. And they come to the disciples so that they can, you know, cast the demon out, and the disciples aren't able to do anything. And I want you to know, just going to a counselor is not going to bring about the necessary healing. What is really needed is a biblical approach to our problems. Would you agree with that? You know, I don't have anything to offer a couple except God's word. I don't have anything to offer anybody except the Lord and what He's able to do for them. And so they bring this little boy to Jesus, and the Lord immediately casts the demon out, and the little boy is fine. And so the disciples, a little bit later on, the Bible says, come to the Lord and say, why could we not do that? Because you see, if you go back in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, Jesus gave to the disciples the power to cast out demons. He said, I am transferring to you the power to cast out demons. So they had that. But they couldn't cast the demon out. And so they said, Lord, why could we not do it? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And some of you, you've gotten married. You've got a friend, you've got a child, or you yourself. You've gotten married. Why did you get married? You got married because you love them. You got married because you cared about them. But even though the disciples had been given the gift to do it, it was not operational without their connection with the Lord. And what I'm telling you is, what God is saying is, it doesn't matter what kind of love you've got in your heart for each other, there will come a time where your love is impotent. It is not capable of handling the challenges of this life. And that is the reason why divorces are epidemic in our country. There comes a time where we need something more than just our love for each other. We need a power that is beyond us. And Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. I gave you the authority, but your unbelief is holding you back. If you had faith just the size of a small mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would obey you. Now, here's what Jesus said. He said, faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains of problems, mountains of troubles, impossible situations. If you look back over to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, Peter had brought up another issue that was an impossible thing that happens in marriages, and that's the whole issue of forgiving. And Peter said, Lord, how many times should we forgive somebody who wrongs us and who hurts us? Seven times? And Peter was, you know, he was expecting an attaboy from the Lord. And God comes back, the Lord Jesus comes back, and he just actually blows that bubble into smithereens. And he said, I want you to forgive them again and again and again and again, and I want you to keep on forgiving. And Peter said, God, increase my faith. And that's what the disciples said in the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. Lord, increase our faith. And here's what Jesus said. If you have faith as a mustard seed, You can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, in every one of these things, those are like, are you kidding me? Just pull up this huge tree and throw it over there. Pull up this huge mountain, and it can be moved into the sea. These are absolutely impossible situations, and that's what the Lord wants us to understand. There are times it looks like what's going on in your house or my house is impossible. You have an impossible situation with your child. You have an impossible situation with your husband or with your wife, or an impossible situation on your job. I want you to look at the truth in your outline. It is not the amount of faith that we have. It is in whom we have faith that matters. That's what the Lord is telling us. It's not about, you know, I just don't have enough faith. No. It's not about the amount. It's about where that faith is. Mustard seed is the smallest known seed of Jesus' day. And yet, when it was planted, it would grow up into the largest of the herb-bearing trees. And the Bible says that birds would come and would roost in its limbs. Now, I have here, I'm going to show you this first, and we've got something on the screen we want to show you. I have some mustard seeds here. Can you see that?
No.
All right, let me hold one up and that'll help. Can you see that?
No.
David, catch this. You dropped it. David. All right, here we go, over there. Did you feel anything? No, because look on the screen. Mustard seeds are absolutely teeny. You know, the size of a pinhead, the next one in my hand, this is just a little picture of what I was holding. They're just little bitty things. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, in a troubled marriage or some difficulty of life, you may feel like that your faith is really small. It's like the fire is almost smothered out. And here's what Jesus is saying to me. He's saying, you don't want your marriage to fail, but you don't know how to make it work. You don't know how to get past the problem that you're in. You don't know how to get along with this woman who's all of a sudden, it's like she's different, or this guy is just like, ugh. And you don't know what to do. And what the Lord is saying is, if you feel that your faith is almost gone, he's saying, I want you to know that's okay. Because if you will place what faith you have all in me, Jesus said, I will do something for you you cannot do for yourself. It's not about you working up faith that something is going to happen. It is about you. It is about where you put your faith. And look at the truth in your outline. The struggling marriages that make it and thrive are mustard seed marriages. Those are the marriages that either find themselves overcoming impossible situations, or those are the marriages that wind up never having to sit down in front of a counselor, never having to go forward and just kneel down for the marriage itself, because their mustard seed faith is placed where it's supposed to be. It is placed in the Lord. They've just kind of understood that principle. So what Jesus is saying to me, to Catherine and I, what he's saying to you is, if you plant what seed of faith you have, it doesn't matter how small it is, but that you plant all of what you have in him. God says, I want you to trust me. You trust me with your troubled marriage. Lord, I am giving my husband to you. I am giving my wife to you. I am giving our marriage to you. I am giving my son, my daughter to you. I am giving my business to you. I am giving it to you. I don't know what's going to happen. I am almost at rock bottom. And the Lord keeps telling us, that's okay. All I am asking for is that you've got enough faith that you come to me. You come to me. And you lay out before me, and you say, I'm giving you my impossible marriage. I'm giving you my difficulty at work. I'm giving you this incredible problem. And God, I want to trust you with this huge life challenge. And Jesus says, I can grow your marriage into something beautiful. I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. That's your hope. And every time you begin to doubt, you go back to where you have put your hope. It is not what you're going to do. It is what he is going to do. And Jesus chose the mustard seed to encourage us. He simply said, listen, I don't have to have a lot of faith to work a miracle in your marriage. I don't have to have a lot of faith from you in order to work a miracle in your business or whatever. It's simply this, that every bit of faith that you have is in me. It is all in me. You're not rest. It doesn't mean that you don't have something to do, but your trust and your hope is in him. You're not in the mully grubs. You're not down and out. Why? Because you're trusting him. God is going to do his work. The Lord's going to make our marriage better. He's going to bring our child is in his hands, and God's going to do what needs to be done. Now listen, while you wait on the Lord, there is something that God says, I've got to do, and you've got to do, that I am responsible for. And let me give you, and that's number two in your outline, planting is inevitable, all right? Planting is inevitable. So mustard seed marriages are a must. But yet planting is absolutely inevitable. Every day of Catherine and my married life, she and I are planting something. We are planting in our marriage by our words to each other, and we're planting in our marriage by our actions to each other. And every day of your life, you are planting something in your marriage. So here's what I want you to think about. What words or actions do you habitually plant in your marriage? Because that can be part of the sin that you bring. And that can be what God is wanting to start working on. So the Bible says, as a man sows, so shall he also reap. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. As a man sows, so shall he also reap. Now listen, I am either planting hope in our marriage or I'm planting doubt. I'm either implanting encouragement or I am planting criticism. I'm planting love or I am planting mistrust. I'm planting forgiveness or I am planting bitterness. And I'm responsible for that because whatever I sow, that's what I'm going to get. And a lot of what's coming to me in my marriage is because of what I planted. And a lot of what you're experiencing in your home is your fault. And you've got to be willing to accept that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Huh? It's me, Lord. I've done my part. And I've got to be responsible. Here's the reality in your outline. Where your marriage is today is a result of the words and the actions of your married past. And Jesus used the mustard seed because even though it was small, now listen, the mustard seed had life in it. There was life there. So here's the question. Are you planting life or death in your marriage or in your relationship as a single? Now, here, let me. If I take a mustard seed and plant it in the ground, and I take a bag of gold and plant it in the ground over here, which one is going to sprout? It's going to be the mustard seed, right? Why? Because the mustard seed is the only thing that's got life in it. Would you agree with that? But that's not the way we live. That's not the way we live life. So often, so many couples that are in troubled marriages keep focusing on planting gold in their marriage rather than planting seeds of faith in their relationship with the Lord. And the focus of so many couples is on the bank account, accruing wealth, a bigger house, getting that car, the social ladder climbing. And nice as those things are, they make our lives look really good externally, but there is no power, there is no life in gold. There is no there. It is only in my relationship with Christ that there is any life. You see, the issue isn't how big is my house or where it's located. The issue is whether that my house is a home. The issue is whether in my home there is love, if there is life there. That's what matters. Would you agree with that? You know, every day, men and women walk away from mansions, they walk away from cars, they walk away from job promotions, they walk away from social clubs all the time. You know why? Because their home is crashing. Their marriage is on the rocks. And they are so miserable. There's so much misery. Because all those things, you cannot get life out of a bag of gold. Doesn't mean that those things are not important, but they've got to be kept in their place. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Now, here's what God is saying. This is Old Testament. If I want love in my marriage, I've got to plant righteousness in my marriage. Now, that you say, okay. How do you do that? How do you plant righteousness in your marriage? It's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Here it is. The word righteous or righteousness, as Hosea uses it in the Old Testament, was a court term. And what it meant was that you got to the place to where there was nothing, there was no antagonism, there was nothing between the judge and the person that was on trial. All those accounts were settled. And you bring it over into the New Testament, and it means that when we get in relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, when we trust His death on the cross for our sins, we yield ourselves to Him, God forgives us of our sin because of what Christ did for us on the cross. He took all of our punishment for our sin. Now, at that point, everything between us and the Father is good, right? Our Father holds nothing against us. We're ready to go to heaven. It doesn't matter when I die or how I die. Whenever that time comes, I'm going home. Why? Because between me and the Father, everything is what? It's all right. Everything's all right. That's good, isn't it? All right, now watch this. Look at the truth in your outline. In Christ, there is nothing between us and the Father. We are connected at the soul level. That's what Hosea meant when he said in his text that he wanted us to plant the good seeds of righteousness and harvest a crop of love in your home. That is when a man and a woman cultivates a soul connection. There is a soul connection. Now listen, a soul connection between you and your spouse. What does that mean? You have a soul connection. It means that between the two of you, there are no lies. There's no sin. You haven't sinned against each other. There's no disconnect. Everything between the two of you is right. You've got a soul connection. You're not hiding anything. And that's what every marriage needs. Look at the reality in your outline. The loneliest people this morning are not single adults, but married couples who've drifted apart. I can have a bedmate, but that doesn't mean I've got a soulmate. We naturally drift toward disconnectedness through dishonesty. We're going to start meddling here. And what I mean by that is we don't tell the truth about how we live. I don't like conflict. That has caused a problem from time to time. And people will say, are you and Catherine all right? And they'll ask Catherine, are you and Pastor all right? He sure talks a lot about your marriage. I'm trying to relate, people. We are good, but Lord knows we've had our moments. She's a woman, I'm a man. That's big right there. Right? That in itself can cause issues and problems. So what I'm saying is, because I don't like conflict, I don't always tell her the truth. Why? Because whenever the truth comes out, it causes conflict. What? What do you mean you don't like it when I say so and so? What do you mean you don't like it when I? Let me tell you what I don't like. Right? And that's why we avoid it. It's like, who wants to get involved in that? But listen, every time there is truth, there's going to be conflict. And that's okay, because that's the only way you're ever going to get to soul connectedness. Because until you get there, there's something between you. The truth in your outline, conflict creates intimacy with forgiveness. Great marriages are not conflict-free, but they're free of bitterness and resentment and anger because they're built on forgiveness. They forgive each other. And the truth in your outline, we have to plant forgiving words in our marriages. Why? If we don't, our hearts get hard. That's why Hosea said, plow up the hard ground of your hearts. Look at the next truth. When we refuse to forgive, hearts become hard with the pride of unforgiveness. It's so important when a husband and a wife get angry with each other that you quickly forgive and don't let it turn into bitterness and a hard heart. Here's the insight why. Forgiveness is to be instant, but trust is earned a little at a time. Now, I want you to understand this principle. This is absolutely huge. This is where, when a couple don't understand, this is what brings about a difficulty to forgive. If there is a marriage here today, or maybe listening on TV, and in that marriage there's been adultery, or maybe there has been the first cousin to adultery, there has been pornography. And you see, pornography in the life of a married man is adultery. Pornography in the life of a single man is fornication, and it's sin. Pornography is a sinful thing. It is unfaithfulness. Maybe there's been financial irresponsibility. Maybe there's a plethora of destructive habits that are out there that can bring problems into a marriage. Now listen, what does a wife do? What does a husband do when that happens? When they say, I'm sorry, forgive me, then you forgive. Forgiveness is instant. But now watch this. Trust, and this is where we need to, trust, forgiveness is instant, trust has to be earned. And if you feel like that your spouse is, that they just, you know, I don't understand. Look, that happened, that was in the past. But the question is, have you earned the right to be trusted again? Forgiveness is immediate, but I have to earn the right. Here, look at the truth. Earned trust is two steps forward, but blowing it is three steps back. Every time you do what you say you will not do, you erase a whole lot of what you just did. It messes it up. Now listen, I'm going to close with this, and we're going to give you a chance to respond. Then listen for just a minute. In John 12:24, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat or corn falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now listen, there may be some of you here this morning and you're saying, I don't know if I'm ready to do what it takes to make our relationship work. But you've entered into a relationship before the Lord. And God holds us accountable and responsible. He wants to bless our life, but He says, I want you to be faithful in that relationship. Your relationship between a husband and a wife is to be a picture of Christ and the church. And Jesus is always faithful to the church, and the church is to be faithful to Him. Now, what is God going to do if I am stubborn, if I am rebellious, if I'm resistant to be the husband that I ought to be to my wife? What is God going to do to me because He loves me? Here's what God's going to do. He's going to plant me. I'm like a kernel of corn or a grain of wheat, and so are you. And God will plant you. And He will plant you in some adversity. He'll plant you into some difficulty. He'll plant you into some kind of situation where there's going to begin to be pressure put on your life. Because when that kernel of corn is put in the ground, that kernel of corn is hard, just like that. And you put that kernel of corn down into the ground, and the sun begins to beat down on the earth, and water comes, and nature puts pressure on that kernel of corn. And it puts pressure, and it puts pressure, and it puts pressure, until finally that hard outer shell of that corn splits. And when it splits, the life that is inside can begin to come up, and you get the whole stalk of corn, and it reproduces a thousand times. Right? Here's what God is saying. The only way the life that I have put in you can come out is for me to break you. And the marriages that are having the most joy in this world is where there is a man and a woman who are broken before the Lord. A man and a woman who have said, Lord, we will do what you want us to do. And God loves you so much, he will put pressure on your life that you will feel like, God, if you don't deliver me from this, I think I'm going to die. God says, no, you won't die, but you're going to feel like it. Because I'm going to win this battle. If you are my son or my daughter, I will break you. I will break you. Because I've got a plan for your life. And I want you to have a marriage of blessing. And that will bring honor to me. So I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. I want to invite you to come. And we're not going to wait a long time. But if this morning your desire is to say, Lord, I want you. I want to yield to you. I want the best that you've got for my marriage, maybe you're dating, you're single, you want God's best in your relationship. You want him to lead you and guide you. You want his life operating in you. Then I want to ask you to just come and just stand here this morning and say, Lord, here I am. And all of my faith, I'm putting my faith in you. My faith is in you for this marriage. My faith is in you about getting married. That I want to rest in you because you're my resource. And I want to ask you to come. Stand if you will. As we begin to sing to the Lord, as music plays, you come and just stand here. Lord, we're saying yes to you. We want you.